From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. It's a cliche, but an apt one. If you don't evolve, you die. That if you can't continually change and adapt, you atrophy. That's certainly the career philosophy for today's guest, actor and comedian Jeremy Piven. He's been steadily working as an actor for decades and won praise and awards for his seminal character, the hard-charging and acerbic agent Ari Gold on the HBO series Entourage. But his two latest projects are quite a departure. He'll be in town on April 26th at the McDonald Theater, not as an actor, but as a stand-up comedian. And later this year, he releases a very serious film about a Jewish tap dancer who performs for Hitler. Indeed, even after 100 credits, he's still evolving. Our conversation is next on Oregon on the Record. Actor and comedian Jeremy Piven still gets shout-outs for his character Ari Gold from Entourage. But at the end of the month, he comes to Eugene as himself, doing something that he loves and audience members are learning about, his stand-up comedy. Actor and comedian Jeremy Piven, who is coming to Eugene on April 26th at the McDonald Theater. He's currently on his U.S. national stand-up tour. Jeremy Piven, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, well, has this stand-up comedy, has this been an itch for you for quite some time?
Yeah, I've been doing stand-up. I've been touring without stopping for about 10 years. I grew up on the stage from the time I was 8 years old, started sketch comedy in Chicago, my hometown, in the 90s with Chris Farley, and have been improvising and trying to get my jokes into every one of my 80 movies. And now I can just run around and grab a microphone and make people laugh. And it's pretty cathartic and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're so well known as an actor and people know you from Entourage and Gross Point Blank and The Kingdom and stuff like that. How does acting and being a stand-up comic, how do they inform each other?
That's a great question. And it's funny because a comic said to me, you're going to be a better actor because of stand-up. And I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense. and boy, was he right. You know, we tend to have these references. And listen, if we continue to do things that we fear, we can't go wrong. Because, you know, I do think getting comfortable is death. And because what is being uncomfortable? It's the unknown, and it's something we can't control, and that scares us. And yes, I've done sketch comedy, and I've been on stage for half a century and my whole life. And doing it alone on that mic is terrifying. And by getting up and doing comedy 5 to 8 shows a week, when I go back to acting, I have no rust on me because I've been on stage performing and improvising and using every part of me creatively, so that when I go back on the set, usually actors, you have to remember, we remain idle until we're cast, until someone deems us worthy, you know, of playing the acerbic best friend for the 400th time. And it's my honor. And that's the only roles I ever got was, you know, best friend number two for 40 movies until I got Entourage. And I was just so grateful and happy for the work. But, you know, if you just rely on that, you can get rusty. And I have no rust on me. And it's so fun to talk about things that are happening in this world that we're all confused about, and just unpack them every night and have this dialogue with the audience.
I would imagine there's a vulnerability to being a stand-up comic. I mean, you're there, just you, you know, a microphone, a stool, and that's it, versus something like Entourage, where you have so many people around you. And if obviously, you know, if something maybe goes wrong, you take another take. You know, what's it like to be, you know, metaphorically naked in front of the stage, in front of an audience?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I am... Because You know, it's funny. I'm really guarded right now because we're living in these times where, you know, for whatever reason, people have been operating out of fear
Sure.
and the feeling that we're not enough and we need to go out and identify an oppressor, whether it's politically or in our own life, whatever, and to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. And so, you know, comedy, there was a moment there where people were guarded, and my God, if it's misunderstood, will the hammer come down on me? When the reality is, we're living in times where stand-up comedy is bigger than ever because we all need to laugh and we need to make sense of this life. And it's just such an honor to be able to do that. And it's just such a skill that I'm just thankful for. Because I remember, you know, I got thrown into the deep end 15 years ago hosting Just for Laughs in Montreal. And that was the beginning of my stand-up journey. And it's just terrifying, even though I've been on stage since I was 8 years old. And what's so fun is just to go from that to just so comfortable on stage. You know, having people say to me afterwards, "We didn't know you were this funny." And I'm 80 movies into a career. And so, you know, the old me would have been offended. But the reality is, the idea that they think what I do coming from me, my take on the world, is funnier than anything they've ever seen me do. That's, I mean, what a huge shot in the arm that is for me. So I'm honored.
I bet. I bet. We're talking to the actor and comedian Jeremy Piven. You know, like a character that you created for Entourage. You know, and again, I want to hear it from you. It feels like so much of that was kind of improvised. Just your cadence and whatnot. Do you take some of that what you learned as an actor, and that has helped you, you know, kind of polish your craft as a stand-up comedian?
Well, thank you very much. It's a really big compliment, and I think that's part of the misconception about that role and me and all of it, which I used to be offended by. Now I welcome it with open arms. Our job as an actor, and nothing I do is special, is to take the written word and make it seem improvisational. And every single word was written in Entourage by Doug Ellen brilliantly. And, you know, he had someone assigned to me to make sure I said every single word. And if I didn't, I had to go again. And it was my honor. And you talk about cadence from the hard work, from the discipline, from running lines, and running lines with my mom, who was my first teacher, who died last month, and running lines with her with Entourage, until it felt like a play that I've been doing for months. And felt so comfortable, and I own the language, and I can be totally present in those scenes. Because if all that stuff hasn't been done, it's not going to work. So, and by the way, again, nothing I did is special. This is what actors do. So when I get to that set, and I own all the language, and I know exactly where I'm coming from, and what the scene is, and who means what to me, and what I'm revealing, and what I'm hiding, and all that fun stuff, and then you let it rip, and you hope to get lucky. And tap into some magic or a zone or whatever, and you're totally present. And then it does feel like, wow, this guy's just improvising, or he is Ari Gold. He is actually Ari Emanuel, who is Ari Gold. That was a script that was written for me, and now stand up is a script that I've written, and it's really fun. And I get to take all those skills as a performer and be totally present on stage and reveal my truth.
What I loved about the character that you created for Entourage is that it's kind of foundational. There are a lot of people now doing an element of what you created, that hyper fast, hyper acerbic put down. I think of a great show like Veep that many of them almost seem to be channeling what you created. And I'm thinking, you know, again, with stand-up comedy, that, you know, kind of in your face. And I'm not saying what your comedy is, but I'm just wondering, you know, that inhabiting a character. It's yourself now on stage as a stand-up comic. You know, talk about the energy and just the passion that you throw into that.
Well, it's thank you for saying that about Veep, because that was brilliantly written and played. And I think she has probably the record for the most Emmys. I think she has 5. I'm slumming it. I only have 3, and she deserves every single one of them. She's brilliant. And yeah, that whole show was perfection. And the fact that you even think that I influenced any of them is an honor, and I thank you. Yeah, for me on stage, I mean, it's hard because I'm talking about myself, but I do feel I can go anywhere and do anything because I've been doing it for so long and I love it. And so whatever the idea, the thought, the bit, the back and forth with the audience, whatever it needs, I have to shift into, up or down into those gears. And it's really the mixed martial arts of performance, in the way that you've got your through line and your thread, and okay, I want to go here, I want to unpack this, and I want to land the plane here. But along the way, someone yells out, you know, "Let's hug it out, bitch," or "Lloyd," or, you know, "I'm a douchebag because of you, bro." Any of those things, well, then you have to go in that direction and then address them, talk about that, downshift, get into that, and then organically ramp back into your material or not. And, you know, that takes reps. It takes respect for the space you occupy. And, you know, I love it. And it's just been really exciting. And the performance element of it for me allows me to be very comfortable and present within my stand-up so that I can navigate all of it. And what I will suggest, instead of me boring the hell out of you talking about my stand-up, I suggest you come Saturday night to the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, let's just be honest, we all need to escape. And there's madness going on out there. And if you want to just come and laugh and forget about everything and hang out with me, it's not a bad way to spend a night.
What's, and maybe this is an unfair question, but what's more of a challenge for you personally, acting or doing stand-up comedy?
That's a great question. I would think, just because the sheer hours, because I've been on stage as an actor for half a century, I would say stand up. You know, it's interesting because as you began this conversation, you said, how do they inform each other? And growing up in the Piven Theater, being directed by my parents, one of the things that they taught us, so many things that we're all so grateful for, but one of them is that they never separated drama from comedy. There's always comedy in your drama, as our lives are wildly dramatic and then insanely funny if you let it. And I used to think that life is a drama until I snapped out of it and realized it's a comedy. And life is a lot easier when you start laughing.
Yeah.
And you start laughing at yourself. And it ain't easy, but you got to do it. By the way, welcome to my TED Talk.
You talk about, you know, running lines with your mom. And I'm very sorry about the fact that she just recently passed. My mom passed when she was quite young as well. And I'm wondering, too, you know, that must have been a challenge because, you know, a lot of your, you know, material, especially on Entourage, is very blue and whatnot. What was it like, you know, kind of, but yet having that just loving connection with a mom to help you with your craft?
Well, it's funny. That's one of the things that I talked about at her funeral recently. We buried her next to my father in Chicago. And I talked about the fact that she was this incredible artist and a gypsy, and yet was practical enough to be a great mom. Hmm. And that duality is rare. It just is. And so, you know, people were all like, how could you possibly run lines with your mom? Or as I say on stage, I used to do lines with my mom. I mean, run lines. Don't do lines. Don't do lines with your mom. And then I enter into this bit where I pretend like I'm doing cocaine with my mom. And that's the type of stuff you can expect on my stand-up. But to answer your question, Because she's an artist and she's been directing and teaching and acting her whole life, she understands intrinsically, well, these are the written words. It's a work of fiction, and we enter into these characters without judgment. You know, one of the things I was working on her with was Richard III, and she was fascinated by these tyrants towards the end of her life, reading about them and loved. She was a scholar of Shakespeare, and I could go to her with any questions that I had, so that when I would play Ari Gold with her, she never batted an eye. And I enter into it in on stage where I just start doing these rants as Ari Gold, and they're wildly offensive. And she never batted an eye because this is a work of fiction, and we're lucky enough to, as actors, to inhabit these characters. And so she understood this is not Jeremy, this is Ari Gold. And what a gift it is to work and to be a working actor, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, for moments like that, you know, working with your mom and then, you know, working as an actor and now, you know, what you're doing on stage, what do you get from being a stand-up comic and putting yourself out there? Maybe that's a little different than, you know, being in Entourage or being in Gross Point Blank and something that, you know, is on the big screen or on TV.
Well, there is selfishly, I think because I've been misunderstood, and I think one of the most draining things you can do in this life is try to be understood. And I think it's better to understand than be understood. But that being said, it's really selfishly very fun to get up in front of an audience and have a dialogue with them and make them laugh and show them who I am. Because I can say, oh man, I'm not Ari Gold. That's Ari Emanuel. I'm a stage actor from Chicago. I love acting. I love the community, and helping each other and creating is really fun. And Ari Gold, it's all about the money with Ari. And I'm from the Midwest, and I took a different path. But you think I'm Ari. Okay, that's frustrating, but it isn't. One of the ways that I can be understood, if you will, is to get up on stage as myself. And as you said, naked with nothing to hide, because I don't. And that's very empowering. And show them who I am and make them laugh. And they're going to walk away going, wow, that's who he is. Okay, cool. That was fun. I thought he was Ari Gold. Okay, this is... and by the way, you're not going to agree with everything I say. And it may be polarizing. And I'm not, you know, I may see something from a certain and reveal a certain point of view that you may not agree with. But my mom had a great call growing up in our house, which was, you can say whatever you want as long as it's funny.
Huh. As if you're not busy enough with this national tour that you're doing, you know, I did want to spend the last couple of minutes talking about the fact that, you know, you've put this movie together called The Performance. And as I understand it, it's been, you know, more than a decade in the works. Tell folks about this movie that's going to be coming out later this year.
My mother gave me The Performance, which is a short story out of The New Yorker by Arthur Miller. And she said, take a look at this. I think there's something in here for you. And she always kind of downplays things. And, you know, I read it and was totally, totally and absolutely blown away. And, you know, also honored that she thought of me, and she was a just voracious reader. And this is just such a beautiful story. And I thought I'd read everything by Arthur Miller, and I hadn't. And I immediately reached out to Rebecca Miller, his daughter, to get the rights. And, you know, she, with Daniel Day-Lewis, her husband, in the background, kind of like grilled me on why I thought that I could do something with this story. And somehow I got her blessing, We made the film. I had my sister adapt it and direct it. And it's the best work of my life. I play a tap dancer in 1937 who hides his identity to dance for Hitler. And Robert Carlyle, one of the best actors on the planet, plays opposite me. And I thought if we could pull this off, we could really be on to something. And it could be an important work. And it sounds very pretentious, but it's true, man. Like the power of storytelling, you know, and we're living in times where everyone's trying to identify the oppressor and there's no nuance and everything's black and white. And that's not the way the world is. And this is about a character that will compromise himself at all costs to become successful. I pretty much am Harold May, the character I play in the performance. I'm not a tap dancer, but I learned how to tap, and it took me 10 years. And, you know, I heard no, and we couldn't find the money. And then when we finally found the money, I was ready to do the role. And the universe, like, came together for me in divine timing. And it's the best work of my life, and I'm honored to work with my sister. And it's you know, my mom's legacy. It's a tribute to her, and, you know, they live through us, and that's an honor. And yeah, it's the best work of my life by far. And you know, the reviews have been the best of that I've ever had. And I think people are gravitating towards great stories now. I don't think that they're being conned into seeing The Rock, you know, play Black Adam or Yellow Adam or Red Adam or any Adam, you know. And I think that people want to, if they're going to spend their money, they want to be transported. And this is one of those films where it's the best work of my life. And I can't wait for people to see it. And I wish I could tell you when it's coming out.
Well, we will look for it. Jeremy Piven, it's been great to talk to you, and we're all looking forward to you coming to the McDonald Theater on April 26th. Thank you again for talking with us.
Thank you, buddy. It's been great talking to you. It's an honor.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from the University of Oregon track and field coach and hear about the upcoming, exciting track season. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.